I was about to have mutiny with the musicians. I kept telling them what they said. I had two more minutes, and the clock on the wall says it's actually 2 minutes after, but the main clock that I look at says it's 2 minutes until. But you know, both of them watch out for me, so I'm not going to make them mad. Anyway, it's so good to see each of you in the service this evening. We're glad that you're here. Glad to have those of you that are joining us on Facebook this evening. May the Lord bless you, and be sure and leave a comment to let us know that you are with us this evening, and we're going to have a good time tonight as we worship the Lord together. Just want to remind you about Wednesday night activities. The regular activities will begin at 6 o'clock. We will be on Facebook Live, and immediately following the service on Wednesday evening, the church board will be meeting for just a few minutes. Grief share on Friday at 10 o'clock, and then next Sunday, during the Sunday school hour, an elective class that we're going to be doing entitled Just Like Jesus, and they're going to be meeting in the foyer of the Family Life Center down there. And so if you'd like to be a part of that class, you're welcome to join in on Just Like Jesus. Jesse reminded you this morning about the announcement forms and calendar request forms, and I actually saw someone a little while ago with one in their hand filling it out. Praise God. And so be sure and remember those. Remember, next Sunday evening we'll be having ice cream fellowship, and we want you to bring your favorite toppings, and we'll have some homemade ice cream and some store-bought ice cream. And so it'll be a good time together. Remember Fall Festival candy, and I was talking to somebody just a minute ago, and do you realize that it's only 120 days until Christmas? Now's the time. We were in a Hobby Lobby last week, and they've already got all their Christmas trees up and on sale. So now is the time. Anyway, be sure and remember all these events. MOPS will be beginning on September the 6th. And if you'd like to be a mentor mom, or you would like to help out with child care, be sure and let Susie or Sue Allen know. And there's a lot of other items there in the newsletter we want you to look at and to read. And we're so glad that you're here tonight. Gail, come and lead us in some songs.
Stand with me as you are able. And let's lift our voices to the Lord this evening.
Sorrows pass, I often dread, but the Savior still
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to be in this place this evening. How good you are to us. We're grateful, Lord, for your presence that was with us in the service this morning as we looked into your word and then as we celebrated around your table. We're so grateful, Lord, for all that you did for us as we worshiped you this morning. But this is a new time. It's a new service. And we ask you, God, that you would bless us in this service. May your Spirit come and speak to us. May we, Lord, look at the choices that we have to make. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to make good choices. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the prayers that you've answered. And Lord, for those that need your physical touch tonight, we ask you, God, that you would bless them and that you would help them. For other needs that are represented in this church this evening, may you touch, help, give healing and hope. And we thank you in advance for the things that you're going to do. Bless us. Use this time. And may we leave this place this evening determined that we're going to do what you have called us to do. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Take it.
Well, you heard one of the two songs I can play. Thank you, Mary. I want to speak to you this evening from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 19 down through verse 24. We've been looking over, several weeks now. We started out with the Beatitudes, and that was basically all that I was going to do. And so we're now moved on into the Sermon on the Mount, and we're about to maybe about halfway finished with that. But I want us this evening to look at verses 19 down through verse 24. And we're going to talk about the choices that we have to make. Listen to what Jesus says beginning with verse 19. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moss and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other one, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Well, how many times across the years have you heard somebody say these words, decisions, decisions? Even the Bible speaks that there are multitudes in the valley of decision. Choices are everywhere. Back in 1982, Richard Swenson wrote a book, and I tried my best to find it because I know I have it, and that's a whole story in itself, but he wrote a book entitled Margin. And in the book, on page 83, he talks about the fact that at that point in time, that there were 24,000 different food choices in the average grocery store. And if you went down the cereal aisle at that point in time, there were 186 different choices of breakfast cereals. The ones with the most sugar are at eye level for the children. That's really the truth. I thought, well, that was several years ago, so I Googled it for today. And there, in the average superstore, grocery store, I'm not talking about the rest of the store, I'm just talking about the average supermarket, superstore, there are 47,000, over 47,000 different choices that you have when you go in that grocery store to look at. And I did not Google to see how many breakfast cereals there are, but I'm telling you, every time you turn around, there is something new showing up on the shelf. And if we go to Costco over in Knoxville, Costco was just down the street from the church when we were in Baton Rouge, and so we got real accustomed to going there. And we went to Costco the other day in Knoxville, and I'm telling you, they switch out stuff so much so fast there, you can't even go back and find what you want another time. And I liked those chips, I'm telling you. You know? And some of these choices that we have to make in life, some of them are very easy. And then some of the choices that we have to make are very difficult. There are a lot of the choices that we make that are meaningless. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, if you go to Wendy's or to Dairy Queen. Now, you may feel differently about this, but it doesn't matter whether you go to Wendy's or Dairy Queen and get a chocolate shake at Dairy Queen or a chocolate frosty at Wendy's, because both of them are wonderful, and I can recommend either one of them to you. Right now, I am on a strawberry lemonade kick from Sonic. I'm telling you that is just wonderful. I just wish that we didn't have all these choices. Some of the choices that we make are meaningless, but some of the choices that you and I are going to make have eternal weight. And Jesus, here in this passage of Scripture, is dealing with the choices that we must make. Now, you may say, William, I really didn't see all that going on in there. Well, I think as we go through the message this evening, I hope that you are really able to see that these choices that Jesus is talking about, they have an impact on our lives. And so I want us to look at these three choices tonight, and as we are leaving this place and as we go through our week this next week, and I think simply because you are here this evening or simply because you're watching, you probably have already made the right choices. But if you haven't, this week's a good time to start. It's a real good time to start. And Jesus talks here, first of all, he shows us the choice between two treasures. The choice between two treasures. He says, verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Chuck Swindoll in the book Rise and Shine, he quotes Dr. Gregory Stock's book. And it's the book of questions. And one of the questions that Chuck Swindoll quotes in his book Rise and Shine says your house containing everything you own catches on fire. After saving your loved ones and your pets, you have time to safely make a final dash and save one item. What would that item be? Wow. When we were in the flood in Baton Rouge, we went through the house and, you know, everything that we could take with us, we put in boxes and put in the pilot that we had at that point in time, and everything else, you know, we put up as high as we thought we could in order that the water would not get in that. And you know, you had to go through and you had to make choices. Well, am I going to take this? And no, I can't take that because I don't have room. But all of these choices. You know, I don't like to think on that, on the question that Chuck Swindoll asked here. I don't like to think on it too long because, you know, I begin to think about the things that are in the house. I mean, the pictures of the kids. And then, you know, there's my grandpa's pocket watch that I have and my dad's pulpit Bible. You know, what would you grab? You know, just leave Ozzy and get something, you know. Jesus begins with this important question. And it's really close to our home. It's close to our heart. He begins to deal with our treasure. Now, before you go off on this, let me tell you, Jesus is not just talking about money here. He's talking about anything that we hold in very high esteem. It may be money, it may be clothes, it may be houses, it may be something else. Jesus doesn't get real specific about the treasure, but he knows that we all, now listen, he knows that we all treasure something. And it's not that he's talking against us having treasures, but he is talking about having treasures have us. See, there's a big difference. And when Jesus says here, "Don't store up," this could have easily been translated, "Stop storing up." And Jesus is showing here that there comes those points in times in which we have to make a choice about what is really important to us, whether we're going to store up treasures here on earth or whether we're going to store up treasures in heaven. And in Jesus' day, a man's wealth was really determined by how many sets of clothes that he had or how many coins he had hidden away. I loved a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, I can't remember which time it was, when we were showing the Jesus film, and it showed Zacchaeus as he went and he got that bag of money out of the wall, and I thought that's what they had to do. You know, there was no Regions Bank down here or One Bank or Smart Bank or whatever bank you bank with. There's none of that. They had to keep close watch on what they had. There were no cedar-lined closets. There was no climate control rooms. You know, everything in Jesus' day was subject to the elements. It was subject to the insects. It was subject to the moths and the rats and all of that kind of stuff. And really, people placed all of their hope in things. They placed all their hope in things. And Jesus said that they didn't need to store up treasure for themselves. Now, in saying that, Jesus was not saying spend everything that you have and don't prepare for a rainy day. John Wesley said that you and I need to make all that we can so that we can save all that we can so that we can give all that we can. And Jesus here is saying that we better place value on things that are going to last, a clean life, a joyous spirit, a life that's lived for Jesus, a life that's lived trying to help other people. That there are not that many things that are going to last for eternity. The only thing, I really want us to think about it, the only thing that we're going to be able to take to heaven with us are the people that we love and the people that we win to Jesus. That's it. Jesus tells us here, he says that where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be also. And whatever is most valuable to us, that's where our heart is going to be. And eventually, earthly things will be destroyed. But eternal things, they last forever. I think that's the reason that the Apostle Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, tells us that since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your heart on things above, not on earthly things. So Jesus says that we have to make a choice between two treasures. But not only does he talk about that we have to make a choice between two treasures, Jesus talks about that you and I have to make a choice between two visions. Look at verse 22. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Well, Jesus moves from talking about treasure to talking about our vision. And he's not talking about here whether or not we have 20/20 vision. He's talking here about what we are looking to and what we are looking at. What we are allowing into our lives. He says here that the eye is the light of the body. And really what he is in essence talking about here is that we have a choice of either a vision of earthly things or a vision of heavenly things. Well, what is a vision of earth? Since he's given us two choices here, what is a vision of earth? It relates, I think, directly to what he's just said in verses 19 through 21. It's a vision of greed. It's a vision of lust. It's a vision of selfishness. It's a vision of self-centeredness. You don't have to think about it long to find people who are like that. I mean, you listen to the news and people do crazy, crazy things for a little bit of nothing. A lot of people, this is what is so sad to me, a lot of people have basically sold their soul for things that will not amount to anything 15 minutes from now. They focus their vision on fame, or they focus their vision on drugs. They focus their vision on a whole list of things that we could talk about tonight. But the reality of it is their vision has turned from heavenly things. It has turned to a path of destruction. And the whole idea that Jesus is talking about here, he says if your eyes are healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. But if they're unhealthy, what he is basically saying is that they've been diseased by sin. So that's really an earthly vision. But then he goes on and he talks about a vision of heaven. And that is looking to God, setting our eyes on God, keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's a heart that's fixed on a lifestyle that pleases Jesus. David said in Psalm 141, verse 8, "But my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord." And then Isaiah says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." What he's talking about there, whose vision is fixed on you. The Hebrew writer says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We keep our eyes on things that are good. We keep our eyes on things that are lovely. We keep our eyes on things that are pure. We keep our eyes on things that are uplifting. I've just about got where I don't even watch the news. Like, I used to be a news junkie. I really did. We would sit down to eat when the girls were home, and the 5 o'clock news came on in Huntsville, and we watched all of the 5 to 5:30 news there for the city of Huntsville, which they covered the Shoals. And then after that came on, Tom Brokaw came on. That tells you how old I am. You know, I even remember Chet Huntley and David Brinkley. We got a hand raised in the back. Yes, I see that hand. You know, I mean, Walter Cronkite, you know, he told the truth, you know, I mean, that's the way it is, you know. He had a good voice. I mean, we talked about voices this morning. I mean, he had that good voice, you know. But I've got to the point that we watch the news, I'll get on my soapbox for just a moment, okay? I'm not sure it's as much news anymore as it is commentary the whole time. Okay. I'm off my soapbox now. But you get to the point where you watch that, and I jokingly said, you know, we watch it and get our daily dose of depression. And really, when we begin to look at those things, and I'm not saying that Christians should not be informed. I am not saying that at all. But I am saying that we've got to keep our eyes focused not only on what is going on in our world, but we have to keep our eyes really focused, especially in this day in which we live. We have to keep our eyes really focused on Jesus. Or we'll lose it. You know? This may not be a good illustration, but it is a biblical illustration because the disciples were in the storm and Jesus was coming to them. And Peter said, Lord, if it had me come to you. And Jesus said, come on, big boy. That's the bony paraphrase of that, okay? And Peter steps out of the boat and he begins to walk toward Jesus. There's some wording in there that has always fascinated me. Because it says there, when Peter saw the wind. Now, what fascinates me about that is we don't see the wind, we see the results of the wind. Can I say it like this? We see the commentary that is being made by the wind. How you like that? And Peter got his eyes on the circumstances. And the situation. And he got his eyes off Jesus, and immediately he began to sink. You see, folks, I really do believe this, that we have a choice about our vision. We have a choice as to whether or not we're gonna focus on earthly things. And I'm telling you, like I said, I'm not saying be uninformed. That is not what I'm saying. So don't go out of here and say, Pastor said I don't watch the news. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying you have to interpret the situation in which we live in light of the Savior that we serve. And when you begin to interpret the situation in light of the Savior that we serve, it will keep our vision focused on Him. Well, he's talked here about basically two choices that between two treasures and two visions. But then he moves to this last choice that we've got to make, and it's a choice between two masters. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be good to the one and despise the other. And then he points back up to what he said in verses 19 through 21. You cannot serve both God and money. I mean, Jesus ties all of this discussion about choices. He ties it up into about three sentences. He gives us this choice between two masters. And the word here that is used for master is in its purest form slave owner. And the word for serve here in its truest sense is the word slave. And he says, and he tells us as well, that we have to make a choice about who we are going to serve, what we are going to be a slave to. We're either going to serve God or we're going to serve other things. Now, we have this idea that only rich people are servants to money. That is a wrong assumption. One of the churches that I pastored, that's my DS in Louisiana, used to say, not the one that you're thinking of, one of the others. There was a young guy that attended that church. Probably neither his wife together making the money. They probably were just very low middle class people, and that's not a slam against them. God must love those kind of people because He made so many of them, you know. But they were by no means wealthy. They were like most people, just living week to week. But the guy became so consumed with another guy in the church. And I'm not talking about in the world in which we live, that can have all kinds of connotations. I realized that just then as I said that. He became so consumed, this other guy, everything that he touched, it seemed like turned to gold. And the younger guy, he became so consumed and so jealous. I mean, that was the word that he used when he talked to me about this. He was jealous of what was going on, and he kept comparing what he had with what this other guy had. And he would go from job to job to job, always thinking that the grass was going to be greener somewhere else. And it never was. It never was. So, you see, you don't have to have lots of money to be consumed with money. You can have nothing and money be your God. The whole thing that Jesus is trying to get us to come to grips with here is that one master, which he's talking about here, will drive us. And the other master will guide us. And there is a dramatic difference between those two masters. One of those masters will drive us to do things and to do things maybe that we ordinarily would not do in order that we can get something. The other master will guide us and help us to realize that if we have Him, we have everything. You see, we really do have a choice about who we're going to serve. These masters are real. And it's so important for us to realize that we can't allow anything that is out here in this world to become our master. The reality of it is we will sell ourselves short every time if we try to follow after this world and the things that are in it. But when we serve God, I love what the Apostle Paul said, but my God will supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Now, you and I both understand that there are a lot of Christian people who have died across the years because they basically starved to death. But he's not just talking there about physical hunger. He's talking there about the spiritual life of a person. Two distinct masters. And if we could only get the young people and the old people and the middle-aged people to realize that we can only serve one. We can only serve one. And it's a choice that we've got to make. Conclusion. Jesus understood as he's talking to this group of people there that day that they would have to make a choice between two treasures. And he knew that we would have to make a choice between two treasures. He knew we would have to make a choice between two visions. He knew that we were going to have to make a choice between two masters. And all these choices are different. But listen very closely to what I'm about to say. All of these choices are different, but all of these choices are related. Because all of these choices have to do with our relationship with God. It has to do with the lordship of our lives. That's what he's really talking about here. If Jesus is Lord, it's not going to be difficult to make this choice about the treasures, because we know that the earthly treasures are temporary, but eternal treasures are forever. If we have that relationship with God, if we have the right vision, we have that relationship with God, we're going to see things the way that God sees them, and we're going to serve Him because He is not a driver. He is a master who guides us. So let me ask you three questions. Where is your treasure? You know? How's your vision? I'm not asking you if you've been to the eye doctor lately. How's your vision? Is it a vision focused on God, or is it a vision focused on what's happening in our world? Who is your master? You see, there are three serious choices. I mean, they really are. Three very serious choices. And here's another statement. You can't get out of making this choice or these choices. They're choices that we've all got to make. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had to look into your word. Thank you for what your word says to us, especially in the world in which we live. There are so many things that would pull our attention away from you. All the things that are happening in the world, and those things can get the best of us if we allow them to. And when we begin to think about the materialism of this world and the treasures that we focus on, help us, oh God, that we would focus on eternal things. Help us, oh God, that we would focus our vision on you. And help us, oh God, that we would serve a master who guides us, not drives us. I thank you for this time that we've had together. As we go through this week, help us, Lord, to remember that you are in control, and that if we will follow you, that you're going to take care of our needs, you're going to bear our burdens, you're going to solve our problems, you're going to guide us and lead us in the ways that you'd have us to go. Help us, Lord, to remember that. We love you and we thank you for this time. May you bless us and go with us as we leave this place, and for all the good things that you're going to do in us, through us, and for us, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad you were here this evening. Glad that you joined us on Facebook this evening. Be sure and leave a comment so that we'll know that you were there. Hope that you have a great week. Remember, Wednesday night, we'll be in here, and we'll be celebrating God's goodness. I don't know what we're going to do yet, so come and be surprised like I am going to be surprised.